Our scripture reading now is Psalm 139. Psalm 139, a psalm of David. Read the whole of this passage of God's word. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The text to which we direct our attention now is found in verses 17 and 18, first part of verse 18. Let me read that again. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. In this psalm, beloved in Christ, David mentions three crucial and profound truths concerning God. David mentions, for example, first of all, in verses 1 through 6, God's omniscience, that God is the God who knows everything. There is nothing that he does not know. There is nothing that he does not see. And then David mentions in verses 7 through 12 that God's omnipresence, that God is everywhere. And therefore, there is no place where we can go anywhere in this creation, anywhere in the universe where we can get away from God. He is everywhere. And then thirdly, David mentions in verses 13 through 16 that God is omnipotent, that God is the Almighty God, the all-powerful God. And he refers to God's power as that is known by him and known by us in God's creation of man, the human, fearfully and wonderfully made by the Almighty God of heaven and earth. What is striking, beloved, in this psalm is that David does not simply speak abstractly concerning these profound truths, but he speaks very personally concerning them. David's confession in this psalm is really this: the omniscient God knows me, and he knows everything about me. And the omnipresent God is always with me in this life. Wherever I go in this world, God is there at my side. And the omnipotent God is the God who made me. I was fearfully and wonderfully made by him in my mother's womb. A personal confession of those profound truths concerning God. David, in this psalm, is filled with wonder and amazement concerning all of this. You notice that throughout this psalm. But really, you could say David's amazement and wonder is summarized in verse 6 of the psalm. This knowledge of God, this knowledge that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. It's as though David says, I cannot fathom that this great God knows and sees and does all these things, and knows and sees and does all of these things for me personally. What a wonder. That's David's expression and response to these truths concerning his God. And it's with that same sense of wonder and amazement that David also speaks concerning the thoughts of God, as that is spoken of by him in our text. He is amazed that God has thought about him personally. He's not speaking just in random, abstract terms concerning the thoughts of God, but about those thoughts of God concerning him as one of God's dear children. And so he says, how precious are the thoughts of my God. May that be true of us as well, beloved, as we consider this word of God under the theme, the precious thoughts of God. And notice what God's thoughts are and why they are precious and the confidence this gives. David says in our text, beloved, that God's thoughts are precious to him. Literally, he is saying that the thoughts of God are of very high value to me. Now, David certainly had many other things in his life that he might consider precious. He might consider his power as king to be valuable and precious to him. Or he might consider his many victories over the enemies of the church and the people of God to be precious and valuable to him. Or his riches, or his success in life, or his possessions, as he had many of them. Or his family, his children. And David could have said concerning any of those, and perhaps even concerning all of those other things, these are the things that I value. These are precious to me. My family is precious. My children are precious. My power and success and all my possessions are valuable and important to me. Most valuable and most important. But David doesn't say that. Instead, he says, most precious to me are thy thoughts, O my God. I do not consider earthly things as my most valuable treasure in this life. But this is what I consider to be valuable. This is what is dear to my heart. The thoughts of God. That raises the question, what are the thoughts of God? What was David speaking about? What was David referring to? Well, obviously, when Scripture speaks of the thoughts of God, it's referring to the things that God is thinking, the things that are in the mind of God. One possibility, of course, is what God is currently thinking. For example, in Psalm 115, verse 12, we read of the fact that God is always thinking of us. Psalm 115, verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. God is always thinking of us. God is thinking about us now. Right now, we are never out of his mind. We are always on his mind. We are never forgotten by him. We ourselves may be guilty of forgetting him, but he never forgets us. And that too is certainly a very precious and a very valuable thing, that we are always on God's mind. But those are not the thoughts that our text is referring to, not the thoughts of God that our text is referring to. But what David has in mind and what the Scriptures are speaking of here is the eternal thoughts of God. The eternal thoughts of God concerning him, David, is what David considers to be precious to him. That is, David considers as most precious and valuable to him, to himself, the eternal counsel of God. Now, God's counsel is given many different names in Scripture. It's referred to as God's will, God's plan, God's purposes, God's decrees, God's counsel, God's good pleasure. And now also, here in our text and in a few other places in the Word of God, his counsel is referred to as his thoughts. The eternal thoughts of God, the eternal unchanging thoughts of God, the eternal purposes and plans of God. That's what is precious to David. And that's what is precious to the child of God. Now that word, thoughts, is certainly a unique name for God's counsel. but a very beautiful name too. It's a beautiful name for the counsel and will of God because of what it teaches us concerning the counsel of God. First of all, this, the fact that God's counsel is referred to as his thoughts, that his decrees are referred to as his thoughts, shows us that God's plan, God's counsel, God's decrees are a carefully worked out plan of God. God does not just act without first thinking. God does not decide without first thinking. That's the shade of meaning and beauty that this word gives us concerning God's counsel. Now, we sometimes do act without thinking. We don't make a plan. We simply do. Without thinking about it, without thinking it through, without carefully determining where this action might lead, and so on. And children, you have learned, I'm sure, from experience, that that's usually when problems result. And that's when your parents will often have to say to you, "You didn't think, did you? You didn't think. Think it through. Think before you act." Well, that's not true of God. God did not suddenly create the world without first carefully and deliberately thinking it all through. And God did not make some kind of hasty decision to make creation and to cause man to fall into sin and to send Christ as the Savior without first carefully thinking through all of that. Nor did God make some last-minute quick decision concerning you and your life, a last-minute plan concerning your life. But God, in eternity, gave careful thought to his plan. And God put together a plan that would work and not fail. And God put together a plan that fits together, that has unity and that has harmony and that will serve his purpose of our salvation and his glory through our salvation. And he thought about it all. Nothing random, nothing haphazard, nothing unexpected or accidental that will surprise him. But God in eternity thought about everything. His plan is his eternal thought. And then secondly, this name, as it describes and refers to God's eternal plan and counsel, shows us that God's plan is important to him too. Compare that, for example, to your thinking about a close friend. Maybe a boyfriend, girlfriend, another friend, a spouse, child, parent, someone that you think about. Someone that you think about a lot, all the time. Why do you think about that person? Why is that person always on your mind? Why do you have so many thoughts concerning that person? Well, that's because that person is important to you. If that person wasn't important to you, you would forget about them. But the person who is always on your mind, the person concerning whom you have many, many thoughts, is someone who is loved and important to you. And so now as we think of that with regard to God's counsel, then we understand that God's eternal thoughts are thoughts that are very important to God. His plan is important to him. And his plan is important to him because God's thoughts, God's eternal thoughts, are thoughts, first of all, that God has concerning himself. Concerning himself and his purpose to honor and glorify and praise his own name through everything that he has planned and his execution of that plan. Important to him for the honor of his name. But also important to him because God's eternal thoughts are thoughts concerning Christ, his Son. His beloved Son is central in his eternal thoughts. How can he not love those thoughts? And how can those thoughts not be important to God when those thoughts are thoughts concerning his own Son and his giving of his Son to us for our salvation and all the glory that his Son would bring to the church and to God himself through his perfect obedience to his Father. Important thoughts for God. And important also because God's thoughts concern his elect, you and me, and his purpose to redeem us and to bring us to himself. These are God's thoughts. And as the text says, there are many of them, more in number than the sand. They are important to God. God is not distant or disinterested with regard to his plan, his purpose, his counsel. God is not indifferent with regard to his counsel, as though he might say, well, whatever happens, happens. It doesn't really matter to me if what I planned happens or doesn't happen. God's plan is very important to him. And we are too, because we are in the thoughts, the plan of God. And so David says, this is what is precious to me. My treasure is not my life. My treasure is not my health. My treasure is not even my riches and my success and not even my family and not even my children, first of all, but most precious to me are the thoughts of my God. That's my treasure. His plan, with Jesus Christ central in that plan for his glory and my salvation. How precious to me is God's will for my life. That raises the question, beloved, how conscious are we of God's eternal thoughts? And how precious are those thoughts to us? We don't usually think of God's counsel, God's will, as something that is valuable and precious to us. We know about the counsel of God. We admit everything happens according to the counsel of God. If something happens, we say, well, yes, that was God's plan. But David goes a step further and says, and so we as believers say it with him, that plan of God is valuable to me. That plan of God is precious to me. That plan of God is dear to my heart. That's the confession of David and of the believer by the grace of God. But why is that true? Why are God's thoughts precious to the child of God? Well, we could mention many reasons why God's thoughts are and ought to be precious to us. God's thoughts ought to be precious to us because they are sovereign. That is, God's plan is His plan and not man's plan. And therefore, it is guaranteed to work. Well, God's thoughts, God's purposes are precious because they have unity. There's really just one thought of God, one plan of God. And that plan is what everything else contributes to and it will accomplish our salvation. Or we might say the plan of God is precious because God's plan is wise. A perfect plan for us. No mistakes, no accidents, and no surprises. Perfect. We may say God's plan is precious because God's plan is an eternal plan. God is not a reacting God. But He is carrying out what He eternally planned. He doesn't have to change a thing. That might be a reason for God's plan and thoughts to be precious too. And certainly all of these are valid reasons why the plans of God are precious to us. But notice, beloved, what the text teaches us concerning the value of the plan of God. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And what we notice first of all in that confession of David is that God's thoughts are precious to him personally. He's not speaking abstractly. He doesn't say simply how precious are thy thoughts, O God, but he says unto me. And David is saying this really, God's thoughts are precious to me because God's thoughts are about me. David spoke of that in the context of this psalm, and as he understood clearly that the thoughts of God, the plan of God encompasses all of his life, he spoke of the fact that God's thoughts included his sitting down and his rising up and all the paths of life that he walked. He's lying down, the words that he speaks, and his development even in the womb of his mother. And David therefore is saying, God hasn't simply made just general plans concerning things, general plans concerning what happens in this world, general plans concerning what happens in my life, but God's will is very specific. God's thoughts are thoughts concerning me, and they are thoughts concerning me as one who is one of his children whom he loves. He loves me, and in his love for me, he has thought about everything in my life. Everything. My life, as we'll sing shortly, my life in all its perfect plan was ordered ere or before my days began. All of its plan, its perfect plan. The thoughts of God are precious to David because God's plan is not just a cold plan, but the plan of the God who loves him. And the plan of the God who is very interested in him. It is the plan of the God who is in this psalm, the Lord, Jehovah, our Savior God, the God who has in His covenant love chosen us, and the God who in His love comes near to us, and the God who in His love establishes a close relationship with us, and the God who now reveals to us by speaking to us in this psalm concerning His thoughts that He is very interested in every one of us who are His. God is saying to us, beloved, I have taken time for you. And I took time to think about you already in eternity. In eternity. In eternity, I thought about you and I have planned everything for your life personally. And we may say, and I'm sure, beloved, that crosses our minds sometimes too, why? Why should God bother with me? Why should God bother with a small, insignificant creature of dust like me? And why should God have bothered to think about me in eternity when I'm a sinner and I sin against Him? And really, I deserve to be ignored by Him. No, I deserve to be destroyed by Him. What is man that God is mindful of us? Why should the great God of heaven and earth, the eternal one, the perfect one, the holy one, why should He bother about me? We don't know the answer. But we do know this. He does. He did eternally. And He always will. That makes His thoughts precious. God, who is infinitely above us, thought of every one of us personally and planned everything concerning us personally before time began in love, a perfect plan. Precious thoughts of God. And then secondly, the thoughts of God are precious, as pointed out in our text, and really that's the emphasis too, because there are so many of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And then David says, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. More in number than the grains of sand on the beach. If you were ever to try, children, to count grains of sand, maybe even just one handful or one cupful of sand, do you think that's possible? It's not. And the text is declaring to us that God's thoughts, and understand this, beloved, God's thoughts concerning just one of us, because this is personal, God's thoughts concerning just one of us are more in number than the sand. Innumerable thoughts. Why so many? Well, that's because, beloved, God's counsel, God's plan, God's thoughts are all comprehensive. Everything has been included by God in his plan. David, as I said already, mentions that in the context. His sitting down, his rising up, the paths of life, his lying down, the words he speaks, and so on. But every event, every detail in world history, and every detail in our personal lives, God has thought about everything, and God has thought about everything to the minutest details, and all of it included in his eternal thoughts, in his counsel. Impossible, of course, for us to mention all the things that God has included, but God has included all of the great things in your life, in his plan. Your birth, your marriage, your family, your church membership. But God has also included in that eternal plan the small things in your life, the number of hairs on your head, every movement of your body, every beat of your heart, all of the germs that you face that make you sick, or whatever. All of your likes and all of your dislikes in life. And God has included in his eternal thoughts all of the good things that we experience in this life. Life itself, and breath, and work, and friends, and family, and boyfriend or girlfriend, and pleasure, and success in life. But God has also included in his eternal thoughts all of the evil things that we experience, being hated, suffering, sickness, family strife, aging, death, and sin. Innumerable thoughts. God's plans are very detailed. God's plans cover everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we experience in this life. That's why there are so many of them for every one of us. And among all of those innumerable thoughts of God, there is, we know, one thought especially of God that stands out. And that is this thought of God, this purpose of God, that God says, I have eternally thought and planned your salvation in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's central in all of my thoughts concerning you as one of my children. That is my controlling purpose and my controlling plan for you and for your life. That's why you can say, my life in all its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began, because that perfection is you will be saved in Jesus Christ. And so all of those thoughts of God, more than we can count, with Christ and our salvation at the very center of it, makes the thoughts of God precious to the believer. And then the believer can say, there is nothing in my life that God did not plan. There is nothing in my life that is unexpected, that is a surprise, that is an accident. But everything that I have faced in the past, and everything that I am facing in the present, and everything that I will face and experience in the future is part of God's very, very detailed, eternal, good, and saving thoughts concerning me. And how precious, therefore, are the thoughts of my God, the God who has thought about absolutely everything for my good, for my salvation and glory in His Son. And that, beloved, gives confidence to the child of God. It is true, and we all know that God's thoughts, God's plans, God's purposes, God's ways are not always easy for us. God's hand sometimes makes us struggle. And so we are greatly troubled at those times, and we even weep at those times. And perhaps that's because of what we ourselves personally experience at the hand of God. Or it may be because we see and we know others in our own family and in the church who are suffering. We are inclined to become discouraged and even disheartened, and even to question whether what Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says concerning God's thoughts, question whether that's true. Jeremiah 29:11, which says this, "For I know," God speaking now here to us, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And we're inclined to say sometimes, God's thoughts are not good thoughts. God's plans are not good plans. We wish we could understand. We wish we could see more of God's thoughts and more of God's plans beyond what God has revealed to us and what we can see and know. And we say, and we think often, if only I could see how this is good for me, then I could accept it. Then I could submit more easily to the will, the plan, the purposes, the thoughts of my God. The reality is, beloved, we do not need to know more. And we do not need to know why. And we do not need to know how this particular thing serves our good. Isn't it enough, beloved, that God has thought about everything? And isn't it enough that everything that we experience, because God's thoughts are beyond our ability to count, they're innumerable, therefore everything without exception is part of God's eternal thoughts and plan and purpose? And isn't it enough for us to know that God's central thought and purpose is to save us and to bring us to glory, and he will make everything serve that purpose. And isn't it enough to know that he is almighty and he can do as he has eternally thought and willed and planned, and no one can stay his hand and no one can stop him from accomplishing his purpose? And isn't it enough to know that he knows what he is doing? By faith, the believer says, yes, that's enough. It's enough for me to know and to believe by God's gift of faith that God has eternally constructed an elaborate plan for my salvation. And it's enough for me to hear him say to me, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That end of being with me in glory. It's enough to know that he is carrying out his perfect plan, that eternal glory is coming for every one of us. Can we say that, beloved, as David did? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. May God give us the grace and ability always to do that, beloved. And in all of life, to remember God, and to remember God's thoughts, and to remember God's plan. Then we can put aside all fear, put aside all our doubts by the grace of God, and say, my life is a perfect plan, eternally planned by God, his perfect will for my salvation, and that's enough. And then I can have confidence and comfort and peace because I am safely in the will and thoughts and hands of my God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for thy word. We give thee thanks for thy eternal thoughts concerning us, that we who are mere dust and sinners besides are those whom thou hast eternally thought of in thy counsel. And thou hast eternally thought of all things concerning us, so that everything serves thy glory and our eternal good. Give us grace, Heavenly Father, to believe and to confess and to live in the comfort of this truth and of the precious gospel as revealed to us in this word. In Christ's name, amen.